York. Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gerald Simon of Grace Christian Center of Glenmora, Louisiana, welcoming you to today's broadcast of Grace Points. I trust that you are ready for a revelation and a blessing from the Word of God. I want to thank our sponsor, the Robinson Family Mortuary of Pineville, Louisiana. Now get your hearts and your minds set as we get into the Word of God. I'll have more announcements at the end of the broadcast.
And good afternoon to you. Welcome once again. This is Pastor Gerald Simon of Grace Christian Center of Glenmora, Louisiana, welcoming you to today's broadcast of Grace Points. We are thankful to God for the privilege and opportunity that we have to be able to share with you this afternoon from the Word of God. As it, again, because of so many things that are going on in our society, we try to stay relevant, but relevant to the church. Because we are the strong man. We are God's strong man in this land. And so the strength of the church, the Bible teaches us that the when it is well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And so we want to keep the righteous well. And in saying that, my special guest today is my good friend Patrick Hazard, or as sometimes I call him, Patrick. Patrick is... a good friend. I've known him for several years. I consider him a son in ministry. He is up in New York State right now. And, of course, Patrick, let me just stop for just a minute because our listeners are not aware of this, but your daughter's been very ill for quite some time now, and we've been praying for her. We will do that before we go off the air today. We invite the listeners to join us in prayer for AJ before we go off the air today. But just for a brief moment, you know, if you can just give her a high for us, and if there's something you'd like to share, you know, concerning that for a couple of minutes with the listeners, you're welcome to. I know I'm blindsiding you with that. I know, but that's strictly up to you. And then we'll get into what we want to talk about this afternoon.
Well, absolutely, and I do appreciate all. We know that so many people have been praying for us. We have relocated to Boston. Boston Children's, who are the best in the world at picking up her case, and we are in the process. She was in total hospitalization. She was hospitalized from early mid-September all the way through January, mid-January. So we've been home for a couple of weeks now, and we're in this partial hospitalization process, a lot of rehab, a lot of just continuing tests. They know a lot of what's happened to her, and they're still trying to figure out, you know, her specific body and how this happened so bad. But we do want to say thank you, and please continue to pray. Aurelia is in a lot of pain still, and it's not new anymore. But we have these painful episodes. Her intestines have taken a very, very brutal attack. Nerve damage is pretty extreme. She is unable to walk without help, stand without help. And we're working these things through. Praise report is she went 4 months without being able to eat a thing. And not because she wanted to eat, but because her body violently opposed food as part of the process of this. And she is now eating. Which is a huge part of the healing process.
Amen.
Amen. We had some pancakes today. You know, we're being very careful with the ingredients and the quality of ingredients, but we're having chicken, potatoes, rice.
Awesome.
You know, the major foods and vegetables doing quite well.
Well, praise God. Amen. She's eating better than me right now, I tell you. Of course, except for the pancakes. I can't do that, man. I don't like pancakes.
Does that make
me un-Southern or something? I got to move somewhere else because I don't eat pancakes? I don't know. I hope not. But listen.
As long as you eat the gumbo, you're in good shape.
I'm really good then. I'm really good. I can handle that. Today, Pat, there's been a lot of things that have been going on. You know, we're still dealing with... The last couple of years have just really, I think, have rocked this nation like nothing ever before. We are seeing such discord, such division, such bitterness and just all kinds of things. And the part that scares me, and I know scares you, is not so much that we're seeing that from unsaved people, but that we're seeing it from saved people. And that's really, really scary. It really is scary. It you know, is Christ divided? You know, I think Jesus asked that question, didn't he? You know, is God divided? Is the kingdom of God divided? And it's not. You know, it's not. We have a passage that from Proverbs chapter 6, and because of the way that the church has been responding to so much of this stuff, it's really kind of scary. You and I had a discussion earlier, and I made the statement that we all have our pet sin. Not, you know, we talk about the pet sins that we you know, we appreciate or what not appreciate, but you know, this is okay or whatever. But I think not only that, we have a pet sin that we hate. You know what I mean? There's this thing that we can't stand, and so somebody that does that thing, we just can't stand them. And the unfortunate thing is that we, if you and I have different, you know, sins that we just cannot stand, then there's a tendency for us to judge one another based upon that sin. For example, if let's say that I can't stand liars and you can't stand, I don't know, alcoholics or whatever, you know, so then, you tolerate liars and I tolerate alcoholics, then we tend to not like one another because we're too busy looking at the one thing that we don't like that you tolerate and automatically associating the other person with that. Now, I'm saying all of that, and it sounds kind of foolish, but what it comes down to, I see a lot of that in the church because there's certain things or certain people who have aligned themselves in a certain, you know, with one particular sin, and they said, "Oh, those people, they're all evil because they allow this," and yet we align ourselves with people, and we allow people who commit another sin that is just as evil to the other person, you know, as we see that. And I guess I'm trying to talk around without talking, but let me just come out and say something, and then we'll read the scripture, and I'll be quiet and let you. Share some things here, but let me quit talking around. For example, we have situations and issues where there are people who just simply say, "Well, you know, everybody we all hate abortion. We hate homosexuality and so forth. But yet we will tolerate people who lie. We will tolerate those who create division, those who create mischief, those who create discord among the brethren. We're okay with that because they hate abortion." Well, but the people who allow abortion are also hating on those who create discord.
Right.
So there's a confusion there that comes where we start to judge one another, and this leads to problems that the church has got to learn how to deal with. And we've got to quit taking sides based upon not just upon what we like, but taking sides based upon what we hate. We've got to stop doing that. That's just, you know, that's just my own opinion. But Proverbs go ahead.
I think you're really, this is Luke 18. This is we all have an altar we stand before, and we vindicate ourselves at the expense of other people. It's the propensity of us all to say, "Thank God I'm not like that guy," not realizing in that moment, all of Scripture, I have to remember this, Pastor Gerald, I have to remember that every time I read it. Scripture is not written for me to vindicate myself or to prove someone else is wrong. Scripture is really written foremost to reveal God to me for me. And Amen. And I if I don't go to it with a God, I need you to speak to me. I don't need you to type five me, but in your presence is fullness of joy. If I'm not walking in fullness of joy, if I'm walking with any type of malice towards anybody, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that's not fullness of joy. So if I'm going to go in your presence, he said to Nadab and Abihu when they went into his presence with profane fire. He said, after when he killed them, he said, by those who draw near me, Leviticus chapter 10, I'll be regarded as holy. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we have the, and I know we're going to get to Proverbs 6, but when we go to the Word, we got to regard him as holy. He must be glorified. And to me, somewhere in there, that means, God, I need to be changed, and I can't see it.
Yes.
I'm so hardened to my own opinion that only you can reveal it to me. So if I'm going to spend some time here, I want that time to be where I'm becoming more like you.
That's it. I'm going into your presence, not for you to reveal to me what somebody else needs to fix in their life, but I'm going into your presence for you to reveal to me what you desire to fix in mine. Not even what I desire to fix, but what you desire to fix in mine. The reason for being in your presence is so that you can change me, as you say, to be more like you, God. That's why I'm here. And that's awesome. Proverbs 6. Go ahead. You got something?
Well, yeah, I love this chapter because this, I love Proverbs in general. Again, let's remember that we're going to this with the idea of God, you're writing this to me for now. You wrote it. You wrote it to me. And it's for right now in my life. And what people, when Proverbs 6 is probably most notorious for, is financial advice of don't be a cosigner. It starts right off the bat with, my son, if you become a surety or a cosigner for your friend, if you've shaken your hand and pledged for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. And we take that and almost discount it. Well, I won't cosign a loan. And that is not at all. It's leading up to where it's leading up to this place between 12 and 20 of getting caught in deceit and how quickly we can become, violent to defend or attack someone based upon really bad information about people we really don't know.
We don't know, yeah.
And we're talking about the church right now. I mean, we're talking, and for, I don't think it's a new thing. I just think media has made it so easy. I don't think it's new. Paul said, Apollos, who are you of? But it's so prevalent because of media that we are willing. I'm looking at some of the Facebook posts where I have friends, and these are lifelong friends of mine, are so frustrated. They're saying, defriend me if you voted for or against so-and-so, Trump.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I watched it with President Obama when he was elected. I mean, good heavens, when President Bush and President Clinton and people who you don't know him, you're going to stake for or against rather than just let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to be encouraged. But we're supposed to be seekers of truth, of light, of trusting that God is in control. Because is God in control or not? Is he or is he not?
We say that he is, but we believe that he is doing it according to the mindset of the person that's sitting in the Oval Office. You know,
or worse, I think making the decision about that person. I think we think God's will should line up to our will for it to be right. I have, Pastor Gerald, I have listened to Christians and at the same mouth glorify this one president while this other president, no, God, that wasn't about, so-and-so caught God by surprise, whether it's one or the other.
Yeah. God put this one in place, but the devil put the other one in place. Okay. So God lost that battle, right?
Pray for your leaders, except or unless or, but there's no inclusions there or exclusions. So I think it leads, I look at that, and it's saying very clearly that we need to be careful as representatives of Christ, to not defend or attack the character of people we don't truly know, even if we know them, but we didn't witness it. The last commandment still is very clear. You cannot be false witnesses. And it's okay to say, I know this person, and it doesn't line up with their character, or it does line up their character, but it must be followed immediately with the truth of I didn't see it. And so allowing God to reveal against our own bias what's actually happening. And that takes time sometimes.
So what happens then is that these, I've heard, I hear the president and one of his advisors constantly talking about fake news. And I laugh at that. I laugh every time I hear it, because first of all, let me just say this, and I've mentioned this before. I mentioned it last week on the air. I'm a registered independent, so I'm not I have no allegiance to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. So I just look at this whole thing sometimes as being, you know, God, please be merciful. But we talk about fake news, and the bottom line is, if you're getting your news off of Facebook or from most of the online stuff, what you're probably getting is fake news, because there are sites that are actually, that's what they are. And they'll tell you that they're satirical sites, but they won't put it out broadly. They'll just put it, and they make up these stories they put out there, and people will take these things with these embellished headlines, and they'll run with them, and you'll see all of this venom and this bitterness and this hatred that's coming out, and it's based on stuff that is not real. Now, you know, granted, people say enough, and I'll say it like that. People say enough where you don't have to have fake news to, you know, they say enough where you can know, yeah, okay, I see where you're coming from with that. There's plenty of that out there to be said and seen and done. But my point really isn't so much about the fake news as it is about the fact that you made the statement, we're talking about people that we don't really know. And so what we know is what we're gathering, information that's being given to us by people who want us to see it from a particular viewpoint.
Yes.
They're not interested in us knowing the fact. They want us to know the fact from the way, with the opinion that they want us to have. And there's scripture about that here in Proverbs 6.
Yes. Oh, yes. And if we don't, if we can take one step before that scripture, because I think the next segment really sets it up.
Okay.
And again, it is used in a much different application typically, but to consider the ant you sluggard. Mm. And, you know, work ethics, I don't want to, but there are things, you know, I think as, you know, we're told we can't have the mind of God. We're told that no, who can have the mind of God, but we can have the mind of Christ. Jesus taught us that he was sending us his Holy Spirit to really bring about us, in us, about in us, the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have the will, the spirit of submission, trusting of the Father. We can have these things. When John is writing in, I think it's in 1 John chapter 3, maybe, it's in his later, in his epistles, he says, you know, I don't need to teach you about these things again. You have the Holy Spirit in you.
Right.
You should not need to be taught about these fundamental things. And so when you look at the ant, which is, I mean, of really insignificant, God is telling me in that passage that I need to find significance in this insignificant little animal that doesn't need leadership. He doesn't need instruction. There are certain things that we should not need to be taught. Paul was a little harsher with it. He said, you should be on meat right now, but I can't talk to you because you're not.
You're not.
So now I've got to talk to you as if you're on milk. And there should be a maturing in us that is natural. It's instinctual as a Christian, where our thoughts are becoming in line with the mind of Christ. Because if we're spending time in his presence and we're not being the tax collector, we're being the publican, beating our breasts, saying, have mercy on me, then some of these things should be coming in us instinctually, where we can recognize and say, wait a minute, slow down. I went right before we talked today, after you and I talked earlier, but before this, I went and uploaded from every single major news site, just the front page.
Okay.
And if I was just to post the main article, it is about one person, and one of my old professors used to say, who do you choose when the experts disagree? Because there's no clarity, there's no uniform. It is simply a specific group sowing an emotionally laden message with a specific target in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a group of people who are wanting to be led. And this is where it segues into Proverbs 6, 12 through 20, where they're sowing to a group of people who already have hatred, in their heart, or hardened. I want to say hatred. That's harsh, but a hardened opinion in their heart, and they're sowing to either stir up resentment or to give marching orders to. And it starts with this, the warning of the worthless person, the wicked man who walks with a perverse mouth. And we'll say, well, I don't use profanity. That's not me. Again, who is this written to? This is written to Patrick Hazard for my life right now. And so if God is writing it, then there's something if I can read this and not get something from it, then maybe my heart's a little hard. He winks with his eyes. If you look down on 17, I think there are parallels, a proud look. There's a smoke screen going on, not being clear with intentions. The next, it shuffles his feet, the lying tongue. So another version, I think the American Standard says, the feet are leading you somewhere. He's laying a trap, you know. But right. It's a smoke screen. It's not being clear on what the intentions are. And it points with his finger, hands that shed innocent blood. And I can't tell you the men that I've read this to and say, oh, I've never killed anybody.
Well,
remind me, how did Jesus define murder?
Well, it seems that if you said something that incited someone to do something, then you were guilty of it, I think. Maybe I'm misinterpreting that. What do you think?
I'm going to ask a harder question. You've known me a long time, and you say friend, and that is an honor, but you have been my leader. I think I've been guilty of this. I think I've talked to you a couple times ready to really hurt people based upon flawed information, especially against my own character. Nothing angers me more than someone whose weakness stubs up against my weakness.
Yeah, yeah. Now that's a pretty in-depth statement you made right there. That's, you know, as they would say, man, that was deep. But it is true. The thing that kicks us off is not someone rubbing against our strength, because we don't worry about that. It's when they do something that ticks off our weakness. And look, let me read that passage. I want to read 17 through 19 real quick.
Okay.
And I'm going to go down and read it. I started to read it from the from the Amplified, but I'm going to go ahead and read it from the King James Version, because we're actually, believe it or not, going to run out of time here in a little bit. Yeah, man. from Proverbs 6, and I want to read verses. I'm going to start at verse 16. That's where I'll start. It says, "These six things does the Lord hate; yea, seven are an abomination unto Him." Now we talk about that all the time. You know, it's often that people talk about, you know, God hates this. Okay, well, let's take a look at these. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, I have heard many people, as you mentioned about the hands that shed innocent blood, and you're speaking of murder, the thing that most often this verse is used to discuss, abortion, hands that shed innocent blood. Okay, but that's one of three things mentioned in that verse. And with the same hatred, then, if we're going to say that God hates those who commit the act of abortion, or you know, if that's what we're going to say, then we have to also say, well, He also hates those who look proud, and He also hates those who lie, who make it a practice to deceive through lying. It's the same level.
I have to say this, and I know we're short on time, but I want to remind people, God uses language to incite emotion in us.
Mm-hmm.
Can God hate a person?
No.
God is complete. So He is letting us know, I hate lying because what it does to my son. When God talks about hating, He is talking about hating stuff because what it does to us. He's the perfect father.
Amen.
So he does not hate he who lies. Now, there's sin and there's ramifications of it. But hate lying because what it does to us. And this, the very same people that defend abortion at the cost of the person, at the cost of the, they don't even see what they're doing.
Don't see. That's it.
So
that's it. And
you know,
and then those who defend it don't see. And yet those many of us who are opposed to it, in our opposition actually operate in one of these other six. Which, you know, I mean, we yeah. operate with a pride, you know. Well, you know, I don't do that, you know, or whatever. Let me finish reading the list.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's ready. Verse 18 says, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, a heart that thinks evil plans. That's what that means. Okay. And then here's the next one. And this is the one that you see on Facebook. This is the one that you see in the news. This is the one you hear people on the street. Let me tell you, we all need a whole heap, a bunch of us need to repent out of this one. It says, feet that be swift in running to mischief or running to evil. And in actuality, what it means is don't be in a hurry to join in on somebody else's evilness. You know, again, somebody posts something on Facebook or somewhere based on something that is somebody's opinion. It's not a fact, but it's an opinion. And then you get all of these people that jump in, and all of a sudden, it's this major thing. Well, why did you do it? Because I just wanted to have my peace. Well, you ran in swiftly on somebody else's evil. That's what you did.
And we're instructed when the Bible speaks, it really makes things clear later in the Bible and elsewhere. I love how the Bible works. But when the Bible says something repeatedly, buckle up and pay attention. And one of the things it says repeatedly is don't move quickly. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak, slow to anger. And that just goes in out of our ears. Mm. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and we will use these as our banners when we are defending our position at the cost of all people, because they are in sin, and we got to make sure the world knows about it.
That's it. Isn't that crazy?
We don't get it.
Isn't that crazy? Let me finish the list. Let me finish the list. We're down to how many minutes do I have, Ms. Tanya? Pat, we're down to 2 minutes. Let me finish the list.
Okay.
A false witness that speaks lies. Now that's twice he's mentioned lying. Okay. And he that sows discord among the brethren. How does he sow the discord? Probably with a false witness that speaks lies. And so we got this thing. But then in verse 20 he says, my son, keep your father's commandment. That's the key. That's the key. I wish we could talk, because you mentioned something earlier about your son, and we don't have time to get into the story. Maybe we'll get it next time. But it's an understanding that we have a responsibility to not enter into stuff on the level that the world enters into it. There's another passage in Ephesians I really wanted to get to, but it says that we have to walk like the light. We are the light, and it's time for us to do that. Give me some closing words, man. We got to get out of here.
I just you just said it. Walk in the light. Trust the Lord. He will bring us into all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. And the church is supposed to be a beckoning light for what God can do in the hearts of numbskulled people to be able to walk in unity. John 17 was not an accident. So I appreciate you. I love that we're doing this, and I hope people are listening. Ephesians 5, by the way. It's Ephesians 5, 5, and 6. Look it up. Time for you guys.
Amen. Amen. Father, I ask you to bless AJ, bless Patrick and his family. Lord God, keep them safe in the midst of all things that are going on. And we know that this too shall work together for good, because they love you and they're called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Listeners, we thank you for giving us your time this afternoon. Patrick, thank you for joining us. We'll catch you all next week as we have another 30-minute visit of God's Grace Points. Have a great day.
When you experience the loss of a loved one and you need to select a funeral home, Robinson Family Mortuary is that funeral home. Robinson Family Mortuary is locally owned and operated in the city of Pineville, Louisiana. 192 Pine Grove Drive, Pineville, Louisiana. Robinson Family Mortuary serves the entire community of Central Louisiana and surrounding parishes, including Natchitoches, Avoyelles, Grant, Wynn, Allen, and through